Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us, Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Now let's talk to Herm Edwards, head football coach at Arizona State. Coach, were you celebrating yesterday when Arizona State's basketball team went to Allen Fieldhouse and beat Kansas?
How about that? I talked to Bobby actually before they left, and I told him, Coach, just keep it close. And if you keep close in the second half, you never know what's going to happen. We were excited, man, watching those guys, those kids play. Bobby's done a great job. I mean, he's been there 3 years. The program now all of a sudden is starting to really gain some prominence. You know, his personality is infectious. You know him as a player. I met Bobby a couple years ago when he came into Bristol. He was one of the first guys to call me when I accepted the job, too. So we're waiting to get together, but it was a great win. Anytime you beat those guys in that place, wow, that's get your program really excited.
I mean, that's got to be great also when you look at it for the football program, too. I mean, you'd love to have both programs doing well, but that brings – I mean, they're going to be ranked in the top five. That brings a lot of excitement and attention, and certainly can't hurt recruiting, Coach.
Exactly, and that's where I'm at now. I'm on the road. In Houston, made a house visit last night, and have some more visits today, and get back into the Phoenix tonight, and then tomorrow, Phoenix area for a day or two, and then head to California. So we're rolling, man. This is really a lot of fun. I'm gonna be quite honest. It really is. I'm enjoying every bit of it.
How many in-home visits have you? Was that your first one?
First one. And really good player. I can't mention who they are, you know,
right,
against the rules and all that stuff. But, yeah, went well, and we'll see what happens. So I'm having a lot of fun.
So Herm Edwards already visiting the homes of potential ASU recruits. All right, Coach, let's get into the Chiefs beating the Raiders 26-15. And we know that Marcus Peters was suspended for a game. A story came out at NFL Network and NFL.com. that Marcus Peters reportedly got into a verbal spat with a Chiefs coach before his suspension. And so that was also a factor, according to Mike Garofalo from NFL Network. And so now that maybe that adds some more context to the decision to suspend Marcus Peters for Andy Reid. But look, Coach, a lot of people in this town felt like once Andy Reid made that decision, that was basically giving up and waving the white flag, and the Chiefs were not going to be able to beat the Raiders without Marcus Peters. But the defense played inspired. They shut out the Raiders for three quarters, so it seems like the message was sent, and they responded with really professional pride and went out there and played one of their better games without one of their best players. You tell me what type of impact you think that suspension had on the guys that were going to be on the field on Sunday.
Well, you know, this is what leadership does. When you have to spend a great player, and you don't want to spend any player, it's for the right reasons. Players know it. They're waiting for you to react. And when you do that, it sends a powerful message to the locker room. Say, hey, coaches, he's holding people accountable. And that's what players want. They want to be, they want to be held accountable. And they know in the tough moments when you got to make a decision, that, you know, the decision is for the best interest of the team. And, you know, I was in a similar situation. We had a great player, John Abraham, played in for us, and I suspended him for a game. And if I didn't, I would have lost my credibility in the locker room, and we needed him. He was one of our best players, and we still ended up winning the game. So that even makes it better when you go out there and you understand, hey, we're still trying to win this game. That doesn't mean that we're not trying to win, but I'm doing what's in the best interest of the team. And the defense played much better, obviously, than they had last week. I think the offense really set the tone when you think about the numbers offensively. And this is the Chiefs now. They look like the Chiefs again. I mean, the time of possession was way up there, 36 minutes, almost 37 minutes. The defense, they ran the ball. When you see this number, 33 rushes for 165 yards, that's big time now. You know, we talking about their star player. Kareem Hunt got going. The running game was well. The defense did a nice job of shutting down Derek Carr. They sacked him, took the ball away. This is who the Chiefs are. This is who they were the first beginning of the season. and then they fell into this lull, and now they find their way right back. And the good part is they are still in the mix. They can win this division. But now here comes the L.A. Chargers. I mean, I can't wait to watch this game. I mean, the way the Chargers have played, and now the Chiefs have gotten their confidence back. They're playing at home. Look, you guys are there, and I've been in that stadium. Can you imagine how electric it's going to be when the Chargers come in there?
Oh, it's going to be great. We've been talking about it this morning. I mean, this is the division on the line with the division rival. That's the hottest team in the division coming to your place. We'll get to the game in a second, but I'm curious. You said something there, Coach, when you talked about suspending Abraham when you were a head coach and the team went out and won the game. How did Abraham respond to that? Because I think we're all curious, how is Marcus Peters going to respond to, A, getting suspended, and B, sitting there and watching his team win a crucial, because that was a crucial game this past weekend. They didn't win that game. They're done. The team went out and won without him. How did Abraham respond? How should we expect Marcus Peters to respond to this?
Well, I don't know Marcus Peters. From afar, I know him. I don't have a relationship with him. I know he's a talented player. He's an emotional player. I knew that coming out of the draft. John Abraham, I had a relationship with John Abraham. And look, John Abraham practiced the whole week. And he knew that he wasn't going to play. And I didn't tell the players. I didn't tell them. I deactivated it on Sunday. And I didn't tell the players he wasn't playing. He practiced. And he knew. And he said, Coach, I'm standing by you. I said, okay, you'll be the biggest cheerleader in the stadium. And he was fine because he knew it was warranted. And he knew I had to do what I needed to do because my credibility was important in that locker room. Marcus Peters, hopefully he's learned a lesson. And hopefully, he'll come back and be excited about, winning this division. I mean, he's a Pro Bowl player. I mean, he gets it. I mean, look, coaches have to do what they have to do. I mean, they will welcome him with open arms, and hopefully, he'll try to keep his emotions intact because he's an emotional player. That's what makes him go, But I think sometimes that emotion, when you take it over the line, it really hurts the team.
Okay, so now he comes back for this game, and we talked a lot about the Chargers and why they've been so good. Keenan Allen is on a stretch right now, second only to Antonio Brown. Hunter Henry is finally becoming the weapon they envisioned when they drafted him. Phillip Rivers is playing at a high level. You've got Bosa and Ingram, the pass rushing duo on the defensive side. And so Marcus Peters now comes back. How do you think Andy Reid has to handle that? Because they're glad that he comes back, but now you've got a way different challenge than what the Raiders provided on Sunday.
Well, I would hope that he's excited about. And he should be. He's a competitive guy. He likes competing. That receiver you just mentioned, Keenan Allen, is a fantastic player. And I think, if anything, this is where the coaching comes in with Marcus. Hey, look, you're playing one of the better receivers, and he's having a Pro Bowl year. And, you got to keep your emotions in attack, because you can't fly off the handle. We need you in this game. Your presence is needed, especially against this guy. And you played against him before, and I think if you're Marcus Peters, you're challenged with the fact that, hey, I'm going to play one of the better receivers in our conference this week, and it's going to be in our place. This could, as you said, this could have a lot to do with who wins this division. I think he's excited about the challenge.
Is he challenged by the fact that the Chiefs won a big game without him?
You know what? I don't know that. I just think that he's happy that they won and they're still in a good situation. And the fact that if they would have lost that game, and let's just say, the Raiders would have had a big day passing the ball, he wouldn't have felt good about that, because then all of a sudden I've let my teammates down because of my actions. I wasn't injured, but because of my actions, I let my teammates down. And that's what team's all about. I mean, you're held accountable to the players. And when you have a team that's held accountable to each other, you don't want to let those guys down. I mean, I know when I walked in that huddle every Sunday when I was a player, I didn't want to let any of those guys down with my performance, and especially missing a game. I was fortunate I've never missed a game, never missed a start. But I wanted to be available for my guys. That was kind of important to me.
All right, Coach, let's get into how the Chiefs win this game against the Chargers. You've talked about it. We've talked about it. The Chargers are red hot. Phillip Rivers is playing like he played in his prime all of a sudden. So how do the Chiefs they picked off Phillip Rivers three times earlier this year. He's only thrown four picks the rest of the season combined. How do they get him to make some mistakes? How do they slow him down in this game?
Well, you got to get him off his mark inside. And Jones has to be a big factor in there. You know, he's going to have to get penetration. Phillip likes to stay in the pocket. Now, you're probably not going to get there. I mean, the ball's going to be out. He throws it quick now. You know, and I think with that being said, you know, Bob knows he's played against Phillip a lot of times. He played against Phillip when he was with the Jets. You know, he has a good feel of what his strengths are. But you got to rush him inside. You know, blitzing him outside, it's all good. He'll get rid of the ball. It's gone. Inside affects him. You get him off his mark because he's a pocket passer. He wants to, you know, he wants to get the ball out quickly. What do you do to alleviate that? I mean, at times you got to play some zones where you got some help over the top where the corners can sit on that short stuff so he can't get it out. He has to hold it. And this is where the rush has to come in. You know, it has to be timed up with the rush and the coverage. Because when you blitz him, look, he's seen every pressure imaginable. I mean, he knows how to deal with pressure. He's not going to take, you know, he's not taking many sacks. And, you know, you got to always be aware of where the check down guy is. Because he's going to get the ball out of his hand. If the first guy's covered, he's throwing it to the back. He's going to have a check down guy either swinging wide or right over the center. He's going to check the ball down. He's one of those guys, he understands. He's going to take, you know, he's a smart quarterback in a sense. And you always tell quarterbacks this, and this is where the young guys struggle. He's always going to take a profit. In other words, he's going to get the ball out of his hands. He doesn't care if he throws a five-yard pass. He really doesn't because he knows he's going to throw 40 passes. He's not worried about that. I'm taking a five-yard pass, keep change moving. I want to be in second and five. I'm not going to sit there and hold it and hold it and hold it. He knows where his check-down guys are, and it's important if you're in any kind of zone or if you're in a man-to-man coverage and no, one of those backs is flaring, you better get close to him because if you don't and something's covered and he feels the rush, he's getting rid of the ball.
All right, Coach, the Chiefs' pass blocking, the pass protection has been shaky. And it was shaky a couple of times yesterday. And that's not what you want when you're facing Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. But the first time around, Kareem Hunt had 17 carries for 172 yards against the Chargers. And the Chiefs reestablished their run game yesterday. How important is it to run the football against the Chargers and try to slow down those pass rushers?
Critical. It's critical. And you got to run it at them. That's even more critical. You got to run the ball at them. Don't try to run away from them because they'll run you down. You know, you don't, and Andy knows, you cannot get in third and long with these guys. If you're in trouble. And if you do, you know, it's draws, it's screens, get the ball out of your hand. We're not holding the ball or, you know, try to hit a Kelce down the seam. And I got to pat it two times because they're going to knock in the back of your head. You know, these guys are dynamic now. They can rush off the edge. You know, Casey Hayward is a kid that I watched coming out of Vanderbilt when I was doing SEC games with ESPN. And he has great ball skills now, guys. I mean, he's one of those guys like Peters. You know, he knows where the ball is. He has great instincts of finding the football. And so you got to be careful. You know, you can't be late with this guy. He plays with great eyes and great vision. He's a pattern reader, and Andy probably knows that. You know, he'll jump some stuff, but he's a pattern reader now. He understands the concepts of what you're trying to do, and he's got great anticipation and eyes. He plays great with his eyes. You got to stay away from him. Now, you can't go over there too many times because, you know, this guy has got 11 interceptions in the last 2 years, the most in the league in that span of time. I want to say he's got, I don't know what he did yesterday, but going into yesterday's game, he had 13 batted passes. That was the type of first in the league. So they got some talent on this defense.
Coach, have you had some coffee today?
I already been up working out.
Okay, because Jake wanted me to tell you.
I miss Jake.
Jake said,
I miss Jake. We might be coming through that way. I heard we got some prospects out that way, so we'll see.
Well, Jake said,
if I do, I'm gonna stop by and use Jake's card.
Well, he said there coffee's for closers, and so unless you're closing out, getting these recruits to commit, coffee is for closers. Don't have coffee unless you get something on the dotted line. All right, Coach.
All right, brother. I appreciate you.
All right, Coach. All right, just making sure.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right.
Coffee's for closers.
That's right.
Now these recruits.
Put that coffee down.
All right. ABC.
I got faith in Coach. He's closing.
Can't just have coffee if you're not closing. I'd just like him to come in your living room. If you're the parents, then you're automatically voting for Arizona State, I feel like, once you've talked to him for an hour. And the kids know him, too, if the kids are watching ESPN.
That's right.
You know?
That send-off they did for him with on ESPN over the weekend was pretty, I mean, I was
very good.
I was teared up as I was watching it.
Trey Wingo and everybody else, very good. I thought, I see, and Trey Wingo was crying. I thought it was because he has to do a show with Mike Golic now. I didn't know. I didn't know what the situation was.
I thought it was Mike Golic and Junior together.
Are you serious? You really, as much as they promoted this freaking show that I will never listen to, this Wingo and Boogo, you didn't know that was their... Or are you being facetious?
I'm being moderately facetious.
Okay.
Junior's on the show all the time, so I don't know what's going on there. I don't know if he's part of the show or just fill in.
Usually just first hour.
No idea.
Because he hosts...
No idea, and I'll never know.
Don't care.
I'll never know.
First and last.
I was watching
Mike
Gold
Jr.
I'll never know.
When they were doing the send-off of Trey Wingo was crying, my wife, I was watching on my iPad, she goes, are you crying right now?
Right.
I was like, no.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with crying at Coco either. Back after this on WHB.